Life Audio.
The Mama Take Heart podcast with Rabrina Rettle is brought to you by Life Audio and is a part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
You're listening to Mama Take Heart, Understanding Your Gen Z Girl, a show designed to help you be the compassionate, gospel-centered, and influential voice in your girl's life. I'm your host, Rabrina Rettle. Joining us today is Barb Winters. She is a wife and parent of four adult children, one of whom is a recovering porn addict. She is a certified sexual risk avoidance specialist and teaches preteens and teens at local schools on how to avoid risky behaviors. Barb encourages, supports, and offers hope to parents of children exposed to pornography at hopefulmom.net. She's a real mom who has dealt with a real problem facing families today.
I am a pastor's wife, and we have four kiddos. They're all grown now, adults. Yay, we just graduated our last one in spring.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We moved to Florida about 6 years ago so that my husband could plant a church. And shortly after we moved here, we found out that our son, who was 14 at the time, was watching pornography. And it was pretty devastating to me. And at the time we first learned of it, we did put some guardrails in place. But when he was 16, we learned that he was still involved and, in fact, addicted. And really, up until this point, we had no idea. We had no idea this had invaded our home. It wasn't anywhere on our radar. I mean, I knew pornography existed on the internet, but we had had the talk, you know, with our kids briefly. We were Christians. We were a homeschool family. We knew our children understood right from wrong, that they understood the purpose of sex and how it was supposed to be within the confines of a marriage. And I trusted them. And I thought, not my kid, because they know better. But I was wrong. And during this time, I had all the feels. You know, I felt guilty. I felt hurt. I felt betrayed. But I really had no one to turn to. And it was especially difficult because of the stigma surrounding someone who watches pornography and because my husband is a pastor. I mean, most people realize by now, you and I chatted about this the other day, most people realize that the pastor and his family aren't immune from trauma or problems, but I could not reveal this devastating information to my own family inside my own house, much less anyone in our church, especially because that we were the pastor's family. So I really felt alone. And through all of trying to help our son, I was, like I said, I was devastated myself. I was trying to find help for myself. I could find it for him, but I couldn't find it for myself. And I started doing some research and just trying to figure out what was going on with him. And one of the things I came across was a study that was conducted by Barna and the Josh McDowell Ministry. And that study revealed that young adults are watching more porn and seeking it out more than any other generation. In fact, among ages 13 to 17, 18% of them are looking at it weekly. That is a crazy amount. And through all my studies, a light bulb went off. And I thought, if such a high percentage of children are watching porn, then there's a high percentage of parents who have children who are watching pornography. And so why aren't we talking about it? So at some point during my journey with my son, I decided that I was going to try and be that parent, be the person that parents could come to when they found out that their child had been exposed to pornography or was struggling with it. So I've done a lot more research since then, and I found a study conducted more recently in 2019 revealed that the average age of first exposure to pornography is 11, with most of those kids stumbling across it accidentally. And in that research, it showed that children have seen pornography as early as 7 or 8 years old, with 58% of the girls in the survey saying they'd seen it compared to 68% of boys. Wow. So yeah, we typically think of this as a boy problem, but it's right. not just a boy problem. It is a girl problem also. And I have a lot of friends my age even that have revealed to me that they struggled with it when they were younger. So, mm-hmm. you know, we need to address both genders at this point.
I agree. Yes, I agree. Because I know I've sat in sermons before where they directed straight towards the men. And we know women, in particular, the reading of porn seems to be with women. But now that they've turned the books into movies. So, yeah, that is a story.
Well, and that same 2019 study uncovered that girls in particular are watching pornography to learn what to do during sex. And to meet the perceived expectations of the boys. So they, you know, and that's another thing we're really finding out is that both boys and girls are looking to pornography as their sex education. Mm. So, you know, they've got the it right at their fingertips. They don't need to ask mom or dad what's sex. If they hear somebody talking about sex down the hall or they're curious, well, what is it? Girls' breasts look like or whatever, all they have to do is Google it. And when they Google it, they don't get, you know, yesterday's Playboy. They get full-blown pornographic, violent, awful stuff. So, you know, they don't even know what they're looking for. And all of a sudden, they're in the middle of these horrific scenarios.
Mm, that is really sad. You just said that about how girls are looking so they know what to do. That is so, it makes me so sad because it's such a demeaning way to feel like how you have to behave or prove yourself. And there's so many other factors that go into that. Now I'm seeing self-esteem issues. I'm seeing degrading oneself, no self-worth, no self-respect, because you feel like you have to fit this particular image.
Right. And they don't know that what they're seeing is not real. They have no frame of reference. So if you and I ran across these videos, we'd immediately dismiss them as demeaning, objectifying, that sort of thing. But they don't know that because they don't have the background. They don't have the frame of reference. And of course, their brain isn't developed enough to even logically make some of those conclusions. Mm-hmm. So,
yes. Yeah. Now I'm also seeing body types and how eating disorders can take place, body dysmorphia, but the body's not real either. A lot of it are surgically enhanced. So in your story, how did you all get on the other side of this? Like, how did you see God's hand in this situation? And how did you incorporate the grace of the gospel when walking alongside your son in the struggle?
Well, you asked me about grace and grace-filled is not typically a word that I would use to describe myself. So it really was divine intervention that really helped through all of this. And thankfully, I had been through a few mom moments before this happened because this was not our oldest son. When we first found out that our son had been watching porn, it was because a bogus warning popped up on his screen and he was sort of freaking out and fearful and came to us in a panic. And I actually see that as divine intervention. If it hadn't been for that, I don't know how long his behavior would have gone on. But that first conversation through all the feels, because it was up and down. It was long. I said a few things I'm sure that I should probably regret and I had to apologize for. But at the end of the conversation, thankfully, God just reminded me to keep the end goal in mind. You know, we're raising adults here. We're not raising children. And if we see the long-term goal, the long-term objective of having adults who are godly and who are contributing more to society than they're consuming, which is what my goal is for my children, then we can, you know, have a better perspective. And so toward the end of that conversation, I remember I actually physically sat next to him on our bed and I put my arm around him and I told him, "We are for you. We are on your side." And I was sitting next to him to prove that point. We're not, you know, working against you, because sometimes it feels like we're up against our children, like it's us against them, but that's not true. And they don't know that, you know, unless we tell them. We said, we love you unconditionally. And when we put some protection in place, because we're going to have to change some things, when we set some boundaries, when we buy filters, all these things, I want you to know it's because we love you and it's our job to protect you, not because we're punishing you. And so, you know, I wanted to make sure he understood that we're not going to discipline you, but we are going to protect you. And that protection encompasses a lot of things like boundaries and filters and changing our regulations and our routines and habits. So I didn't really understand at the time what all it would entail, but I was glad that at least I knew enough to say, we love you unconditionally.
I bet that was tough.
Yeah. And I, you know, Robrina, a lot of people ask me how he's doing. So let me just at least end this portion of our discussion by saying that he is doing great. He is walking in freedom right now. He's a college student. He's almost got his degree, and he's really my hero. So I am excited always to be able to say that. And for those who are out there who have kids who are still struggling, you know, this isn't the end. There is hope.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
I also wanted to talk about January is National Sex Trafficking Awareness Month. So let's talk about tween and teen girls and how the grooming occurs online, encouraging girls to send nudes, blackmailing, and its link to sex trafficking.
Sure, absolutely. So yes, when I talk about human trafficking, and I do go into schools, and we talk about this through the part-time job that I have, I always make it a point to link pornography and sex trafficking together, because there is a link that most people don't understand, especially our teens and preteens. They're conditioned right now to think that sending nudes is normal behavior. It's a precursor to dating. So, you know, if they're even pressured into it, if their friends might say, "What, you haven't been asked for a nude yet?" So they think that's typical normal behavior. And girls especially are vulnerable to online grooming, which is how a lot of people get into the sex trafficking industry. And let me back up a little, because we sometimes think that human trafficking is something that happens over there, across the pond, so to speak, in a different country. But in fact, it is happening in our backyards. And I live in Florida, which is the third largest state for human trafficking calls in the state. So we want our kids to understand that this, you are vulnerable to this. You are susceptible to grooming. And typically girls in particular, because of what we're talking about, their self-esteem and their insecurity, they are susceptible to someone just friending them through an online game or through social media, and they're catfish, basically, which means somebody pretends to be somebody that they're not. Mm-hmm. They pretend to be a friend their age, and they send a personal message, and they build them up emotionally, filling a need that they might have. Maybe they're feeling empty inside. Maybe they're feeling lonely, as we all do at times, you know, and they don't know what to do with these feelings. And somebody comes along and says, "Oh, I noticed that you whatever. I noticed that you got an A on your mm-hmm. test. Congratulations. Or you're so beautiful. I heard recently, I was at an event where I heard a lady who had been human trafficked say that she was just at a gas station and somebody walked up to her and said, "You're beautiful." And that was really all it took. And all of a sudden she was this guy's girlfriend and didn't realize the ramifications of what was going on. But our kids online, they're groomed, they fill a need, and then the girl basically takes the bait. And from there, the groomer coaxes them maybe into sending a nude. And then they'll bribe them, coerce them, deceive them, whatever they need to do in order to get them then to start trafficking either in person or even send a video, and then it gets uploaded to porn sites. So there's all kinds of ways. I've even heard of girls who are trafficked out of their own home and they don't even realize it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I saw something, it was, I watched true crime, and this particular one was about internet crimes, and it was called Web of Lies. And there was one with a young girl where she was coaxed into sending a nude. I think it started with just upper part of her body. Mm-hmm. And once she did that, though, he said, I have access to all of your contacts, and I will send this to everyone in your contacts. And she was terrified. And so she did what he said. And he, like, almost daily, he was contacting her to send pictures. This particular person, he was caught because it turns out he was doing it to hundreds of girls all over the country. And so thank goodness they found him. But that is a way that it can happen. It's like right in their room. And they're just so ashamed and embarrassed that they fell prey to it in the first place that they don't want to tell anyone. And so my thing is always, like you were with your son, to always leave the door open to communication, even if, like you said, you have a mom moment, because I tell you, I do not have what they call a poker face. Whatever I'm feeling, it's all over my face. And so I had to learn too. Okay, calm, stay calm, take some breaths, you know, but whatever's coming out, and just try to focus on that. And then also another thing I do is what I call whisper prayers, you know, breath prayers. So as I'm breathing, I'm praying.
Oh, I love that. Yes.
You know, just to get myself calm. Yeah. So
thankfully, our kids are forgiving. They're more forgiving than we are. And they're resilient and they crave our love. So even when we mess up, when we go to them and say, "Oh man, I blew it and I need to start over. Will you forgive me?" They are typically just willing to forgive because, and they need to see that in us. We need to be real and authentic. But yeah, we also need to be the mom who is willing to talk about these things.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. I think also just ensuring that they understand that they were preyed upon. Because I think that's another thing, is they're thinking, I did wrong.
Right.
You were preyed upon. Mm-hmm. And so just for me, I go into this huge protective mode, as in I'm going to deal with the person that was trying to hurt you. I'm going to deal with them, you know, and instead of pushing my anger on my child, you know, I want them to see.
That's a great point, because a lot of people see people who, like I talked about in the beginning, people who watch pornography as monstrous, so to speak. And, you know, they're already feeling shame and guilt. That's right. We need to find a way where we're grace-filled and we see them as victims, which is exactly what you're saying, is if when we see our kids as being victimized by predators and even the pornographic industry, because they prey on youth, because if they can get them now, they're going to have a lifetime consumer. And if we see them as victims, then it's so much easier for us to come alongside them and help them and not have that, you know, bashing of heads, so to speak.
Did you have other...
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. the Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
A statistic that you wanted to share about girls in particular and how they're affected?
One other stat was that a poll by Childline showed that 1/5 of 12 to 13 year olds believe that porn is normal behavior. So that wasn't, I guess, specifically.
Wow, that's people. Still to just to know that, though, that you see that as normal, which I guess I'm surprised and I'm not surprised at the same time because society has normalized it.
Yes.
And so, yeah, people say, that's fine to add a little spice to my relationship, you know? And
yeah.
So as society has normalized it to a certain extent and also has provided a way to make it profitable for, are they called webcam models? So, I can see how they think that it's normal.
Right. Yeah. And it's not. And it's up to us to communicate to them. So that's why we need to be brave and talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so I will provide a link to national sex trafficking organizations or anti-sex trafficking organizations. Mm-hmm. And then there's one here that I volunteer with. I used to work with them. I've got a name. And then there's another one that's local called the Set Me Free Project. She's actually, Stephanie, she's actually been on the show also to talk about boundaries. And they're more education. I would say that is the key is educating, not just educating yourself, but educating your girl, right. Educating her to understand what are the ramifications or consequences of sending a nude. One, it's out there,
right?
Forever. You cannot get that back. And also when it's considered child pornography also.
Yes.
And so that person, whoever you're sending that picture to, they are now in possession of child pornography. So there's so many other ramifications and layers to the nude pics and so forth.
Well, and even revenge porn or taking the information and uploading it to pornographic websites without permission.
Yes.
And I'm glad you brought up the child pornography. That's something we always talk about in the schools also. Because if they don't understand it from a moral standpoint, at least I want them to understand it from a legal standpoint.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't think they really think about that. Like, oh, wait, I am still a child, you know, and whoever I send it to, now they're in possession of child pornography and they can get in trouble for it. And you can get in trouble for sending it.
Yeah.
And so I think educating yourself is the key. I think also educating your child is the key and allowing them to understanding the consequences and repercussions behind it.
And I do have some links on my website too, to one, other types of human trafficking, anti-human trafficking organizations, and two, to communication tips or how to start the conversation with your child, depending on their age, books that they can use, and or just on my blog site, various communication tips. So,
okay, that's great. And speaking of book, let's talk real quick about a book that you are starting to write.
Sure, I'd love to. Yeah, I'm writing a book on healthy relationships and specifically how to help our teens, preteens, young adults have healthy relationships given this world that we live in, full of hookups and full of pornography, et cetera. So I'm really excited about the book. So thanks for mentioning it.
Oh, yeah. And it's not due to come out yet, though. It won't come out until maybe 2023.
Yes.
However, if our listeners, if they connect with you on your website and your blog, then you'll be announcing the closer it gets to it. So why don't you let our listeners know how they can connect with you?
Sure, I'd love to. So the best way to connect with me is through my website at hopefulmom.net. And if you subscribe for updates, then I offer a free PDF download. And you'll also get updates when I post blogs. And you'll be the first to know when my book is available to order. And you can also connect with me through Facebook at Difficult Conversations for Parents and through Instagram at difficult.conversations. And I would love to connect with other mamas.
Okay, I will definitely put those links in the show notes. And I can't thank you enough for joining us today and having this very vulnerable conversation. I'm very grateful that your family was able to come on the other side of this and redeem the situation for God's good and the work that you are doing in our community. Mamas, really appreciate it.
Well, I thank you, Robrina, for having me on here also. You're amazing and I love your podcast. So hopefully people like it as much as I do.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. Remember, God is for you and you're not alone. With His Spirit, you are filled with courage and strength of purpose. So don't fret, Mama. Instead, take heart.
Mama Take Heart is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you liked what you just listened to, would you take a second and leave us a rating in your favorite podcast app? It really does help more people like you find our show. This podcast is produced by me, Kelly Givens, and Steven Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. You can find more podcasts like this over at lifeaudio.com.
Jesus wants our fears to launch us toward faith. Then he grins and says, "Do you trust me? Because together we can do this." With Mornings with Jesus, you can start your day in a positive way. Find hope through inspirational stories and scripture. Go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Mornings with Jesus. You can also download the Abide app for biblical meditations at abide.com.